We're turning this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to consider the glory of Christ in his resurrection. The glory of Christ as death is defeated. At Easter time, many people turn their minds to what is Easter about? What does Easter mean? Does it matter? How is Easter significant for my life? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ say to you this morning? Those are good questions for us to think about. Does Easter matter at all to you this morning? Is there any significance in your life to the fact of Jesus rising from the dead? Does the resurrection say anything to you then? Instead of despair, does the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring you hope? Instead of the prospect of hell and judgment, heaven and acceptance before God. Jesus' resurrection, speaking of death conquered and life anew from God. So let's look first in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel. Paul asserts to the Corinthians and to us that the only gospel that will save them is the gospel that he's received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This gospel is the gospel, then, Paul declares. It's not his own making. It's not his own ideas or opinions. It's something that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel spoken of in the scriptures of the Old Testament, the gospel which was preached by Paul and all the apostles, the gospel which is written down for us in the New Testament, the gospel of salvation. The only gospel that will save the Corinthians is this gospel, says Paul. Now you may be asking yourself, why would the apostle Paul outline the gospel to a church? He's already preached the gospel to that church. He's written to that church. Why is he outlining the gospel for them again? Well, there's a clear answer in the chapter that we read in 1 Corinthians 15. There were a number of people in the Corinthian church who were doubting the resurrection. They were struggling with doubts about the future, about the future resurrection of believers at the last day. For whatever reason, they were doubting this particular truth of resurrection. I wonder if your affirmation of faith this morning is, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Some of the Corinthians were doubting that. And so the Apostle Paul recounts the key heart fundamental truths of the gospel, that they'll remember the word of salvation that brought them into a saving relationship with God. And Paul reminds them that at the heart of that is the truth of the resurrection. And it's vitally important for us then to pause for a moment and see what the Apostle Paul is saying. Paul is saying to the Corinthians that they can't just pick and choose the parts of the gospel they will or will not believe. That's not up to them. The gospel is the gospel of God. God has determined what is and what is not in the gospel. So the Apostle Paul is saying to them, these things are in the gospel. They're essential. You can't take them out. It's a very important lesson for us this morning. Some time ago, the BBC did a survey, and they reckoned that a quarter of people who call themselves Christians didn't believe in the resurrection. That's a reflection of a sort of postmodern idea. Everybody's opinion is the truth, especially when it comes to religious matters. It doesn't matter what you believe. And how often have we heard people say, I know what the Bible says, but I like to believe. And we become all our own little popes, our one-person churches. Take out of the Bible the things we like and leave out the things that we don't like. And the Apostle Paul is saying to the Corinthians and to us this morning, you can't do that. The gospel is God's gospel. There are certain facts in the gospel. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, then you believe those facts about him. And you entrust your life to him. But the gospel is not pick and mix religion. It's become very popular for people to claim they are Christians while at the same time denying the miraculous in the Bible. Another survey said that 1 in 3 clergy in the Church of England doubt the resurrection. Well, if they doubt the resurrection, they shouldn't be in the clergy and they shouldn't be preaching. What are you going to preach about on Easter Sunday if you don't believe in the resurrection? There was a Christian question and answer column, and this letter appeared in it. A concerned listener. At Easter, our preacher said that Jesus just swooned, fainted. He fainted on the cross, and the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? The editor's reply, dear reader, if your preacher is whipped with 39 heavy strokes, nailed to a cross, hung in the blistering sun for 6 hours, a spear is put through his heart, if he's embalmed and put in an airless tomb for 72 hours, see what happens. Jesus didn't swoon. The Bible speaks of resurrection. And though there's a rising skepticism in all things supernatural, and the idea that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has become sort of a fairy tale in the minds of many people, the idea that Jesus rose from the dead, a ludicrous idea held by ancient people, that anti-supernatural bias has infiltrated Western thought. And sad to say, it's been brought even into the church. So that there are some today who claim to hold to some sort of Christianity, but deny the resurrection. So we must face head on, is holding to the historical bodily resurrection of Jesus a supernatural event? Is that necessary to be a Christian? And the answer of the Bible is very simple. Yes, says the Bible. A Christian believes in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And if you deny the resurrection, you are not a Christian at all. Even if you're a clergyman. If you deny the resurrection, you're not a Christian. You're rejecting Christianity to deny the resurrection. You may claim to have a so-called Christianity, but it's not biblical Christianity. So there are certain areas of Christian truth that are non-negotiable. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of those. To deny the resurrection is to deny the deity of Jesus, that Jesus is truly God. That's one of the essential tenets of Christianity, that Jesus is the Son of God. He's both fully God and fully man. And to say that Jesus then did not rise from the dead, to say that he remained in the grave and his corpse decomposed and rotted away. Well, if God is eternal, and Jesus is the eternal God, then Jesus, as the Son of God, must rise from the dead. If Jesus is God in the flesh, to claim that Jesus never rose from the dead is to say that Jesus was not God. You make Jesus into just a martyred good teacher. But the Bible says he's the living God, the Son of the living God, and the resurrected King of glory. To deny the resurrection is to call Jesus a liar. Because in the Gospels, Jesus continually predicted his own death and resurrection. Let me give you just one example. Mark chapter 9 and verse 31. Here it is. Jesus speaking in his earthly ministry, speaking about what would happen to him. Jesus taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man," that's the title Jesus most commonly used of himself, "the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day." Is Jesus a liar? You say Jesus did not rise from the dead. That's saying Jesus there is a liar. In a way, that makes Jesus not even a good man, rather a con man. So to deny the resurrection is to turn Jesus into a liar. And to deny the resurrection is to deny Christ's atoning death. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins, says Paul. Jesus' resurrection is the approval, the guarantee that his death did pay the penalty for our sins. It's the confirmation that Jesus' death on the cross was a substitutionary death, that he died in the place of sinners. The sacrifice of Jesus paid in full for our sins, all his believing people. Our redemption is secure. Like I was saying about this receipt. It's the receipt, it's the guarantee. Your sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. And that vindication is seen clearly by his resurrection from the dead. So you lose the resurrection, you lose salvation. Jesus' death becomes a great tragedy. And we stand condemned before God. Condemned before God because of our sin. To deny the resurrection is to deny any hope then. Any hope that we have in present suffering or sorrow or death comes from the resurrection. We know that there are heartaches and heartbreaks in this fallen world. Our hope in life and death is to know our Redeemer lives. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If we deny the resurrection, we have no hope. Death will swallow us up and we perish. We have no hope that Christ will return and vindicate his people. If the resurrection is not true, then we have God's broken promises. So I'm saying the resurrection is essential to Christianity. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, then he's not God, he's a liar. His death was pointless and we have no hope. Lose the resurrection, we lose the gospel. So to reject the resurrection is to reject Jesus. So this great, glorious truth, Jesus Christ is alive, risen from the dead, ruling and reigning as King of the universe, the resurrected Lord of glory. Blessed are those here this morning and those who listen to this message who have not seen with their physical eyes but have seen with the eye of faith and have believed Christ is risen from the dead. Is that your affirmation this morning? Is that your faith? If you've believed this gospel for salvation, the gospel in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the gospel as it's revealed in the Word of God, this gospel is not pick and choose, it's the gospel of God. There are those who accept it and believe. There are those who reject it and rebel. But Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you. Do you believe this gospel this morning? Is your faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior? That's at the heart of the gospel. But then secondly, the core elements of the gospel. In verses 3 to 4, the Apostle Paul outlines for us what is in this gospel. Yes, at the heart of it is the resurrection. But there are core elements to it. This isn't everything we can say about the gospel, but the Apostle gives us certain truths that are part of his preaching of the gospel. The Messiah, he says, Christ. The Messiah died. The Messiah died for our sins. The Messiah was buried. And the Messiah was raised from the dead. All according to the scriptures. So the first truth there that Paul preaches is that Jesus is the Messiah. Christ, he begins. Now he uses the title for Jesus. Christ, Messiah. Not a personal name, not a surname, not a family name. Christ is the word for Messiah. And there's a whole sermon in that one word. When Paul says it's the Messiah who died for our sins, according to the scriptures, he's saying Jesus is the Messiah identified in the Old Testament. He's the Messiah who's come as Savior and Liberator of his people. The gospel fulfills all the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, and Jesus is the Messiah. then Paul says the Messiah died according to the scriptures. That's the vindication of Jesus there. Paul has already said in this letter that the Jews stumble over a crucified Messiah. Many still do. If the Messiah was to come and liberate his people, liberate them from their oppressors, the idea that the Messiah would be crucified at the hands of the Romans, that was abhorrent to every Jew. And yet the Apostle Paul says, here's the fact, the Messiah died. And it's a vindication of Jesus Christ because it's according to the scriptures. If you read your Old Testament carefully, he says, you will see that the Messiah had to die. Isaiah chapter 53 is one of the great examples of that. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Isaiah declares, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on the Messiah, laid on him, the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise the Messiah. He, the Lord, has put him, the Messiah, to grief. The Messiah had to die. And so the Apostle Paul emphasizes Jesus the Messiah died according to the scriptures. And you may have noticed that I omitted three little words, very important words. The Messiah died for our sins. Not just as an example of how to live a self-sacrificial life. Not just to show love in an ultimate way. He died for our sins. That's at the very heart of this gospel. It's one of the core elements of the gospel. You see, there's a connection in the Bible between sin and death. The wages of sin is death. So when you see the Messiah dying, you are seeing him die, but not for his own sins. He had no sins. He was sinless. So says Paul, death, the wages of sin, the Messiah died because he died for our sins as a sin bearer. He took our place. He bore the penalty for our sins, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. That we might be transformed, that we might be justified, that we might be sanctified, that we might be brought into an eternal and living relationship with God as our Father. Christ died for our sins. There's a vital truth to get hold of this morning. And then Paul goes on to say the Messiah was buried. Just in case there's any doubt in your mind that the Lord Jesus really died, that he was really dead when they brought him down from the cross, Paul says he didn't swoon, he didn't faint. This wasn't a resuscitation. Jesus was dead. He was so dead that he was buried. He was entombed. That's how dead Jesus was. And then he goes on to say Jesus was raised from the dead. So not resuscitated, but resurrected. His body was laid in a cold tomb. His spirit returned to his Father in heaven. But on the third day, soul and body reunited, Jesus burst forth victorious from the grave. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, don't miss this. Believe on this for salvation. Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah died. The Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures. The Messiah was buried. The Messiah rose from the dead. And this fulfills all the prophecies of the Old Testament. All the life and the person and the work of Christ was set forth in the Old Testament scriptures. This is not some new novel idea dreamed up by the apostles. This is the plan of God from all eternity and was prophesied through the Old Testament. Take, for example, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, we read of him steadfast in worshipping and serving the Lord, even when King Darius, at the instigation of Daniel's enemies, threw him into a lion's den. And to prevent anyone from removing Daniel from that lion's den, the opening was blocked by a heavy stone and sealed by the king. But God preserved Daniel by closing the mouths of the lions. And then Daniel was brought out and was exalted to a position of honor in the kingdom. Who is Daniel pointing us to? He's pointing us to Jesus. Because after the crucifixion, Jesus was cast into the den of death. He was cast into a den, a tomb. And the opening of Jesus' den of death was blocked by a heavy stone and was sealed by his enemies. But just as Daniel was delivered by God himself from the lion's den, emerging alive and unharmed, Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus was delivered from the den of death. Death could not harm him in any way. Freely, victoriously, Jesus left the grave. He rose from the dead, and God has now exalted him to a position of glory and honor. So Jesus has now all authority in heaven and on earth. So when we're talking about the resurrection, we're talking about something that is pointed to all through the Old Testament scriptures. So though there are people today who say, I love the ethical teaching of Jesus, but I just can't believe all this stuff about him being raised from the dead. That isn't the Jesus of the gospel. The Christ of the gospel is not just a great moral teacher. The Christ of the gospel is the living Savior. He saves, he intercedes for his people, he rules the world by the word of his power. He's raised from the dead. That's the Christ who saves. So we have the heart of the gospel, the core elements of the gospel, and then thirdly, the glory of Christ in the gospel. Christ's glory is revealed here. We are taught through the resurrection. Jesus was shown to be the Messiah. Listen to how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. None of the other world's great religions are founded on this belief that the originator rose from the dead. That's what makes Jesus Christ unique. And here's God's witness to the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. He was raised from the dead. Christ's resurrection from the dead also exalts him and vindicates him to show that he has satisfied divine justice. You see, at the heart of the universe, there is divine justice. Listen to how the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8 and verses 33 and 34. God couldn't just ignore, sweep under the carpet, just pretend that we hadn't sinned. There's divine justice, says the Apostle Paul. But the resurrection of Christ proves that God's justice has been satisfied at the cross. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? If you are a child of God, who will bring a charge against you? It is God who justifies. God has done this in his sovereign grace. Who is he who condemns? Who's going to condemn you? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Divine justice has been satisfied, and we see it proved by Christ's resurrection from the dead. If you're a Christian here this morning, don't we still struggle? Christians struggle with the ongoing sin that is in our lives. We hear from the Bible that we are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ as we trust in him. But we still live in a body of sin. We fail. We fail the Lord. We fail one another. We are conscious of our sinfulness. Sometimes it's hard to believe that we are forgiven. So when those doubts and fears arise, Paul is saying to you, Christian, this morning, look at the resurrection of Jesus. See the proof there that Christ has accepted, been accepted by God as the one who's paid the penalty for your sins. Look to the resurrection. You see in the resurrection of Christ, God's declaration of not guilty. Not guilty to you, that as his Son was raised from the dead and vindicated, So you have been raised in newness of life in Christ, fully justified freely by God's grace. So when Satan tempts you to despair, tells you of the guilt within, what are you going to do? You look up. You look up to a risen Christ. You look up to the one who is at now in heaven praying and interceding for you, and see him there who made an end of all your sin. And because the sinless Saviour died, your guilty soul is counted free. And God the just is satisfied to look on Jesus and pardon you. And the resurrection also shows us Jesus has conquered death and Satan. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Where are we going to find hope in the face of death? In the Bible, that hope is set forth in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you see Jesus Christ raised from the dead, as you trust in him, the one who has risen, you see a prediction and a promise of your own future experience. God's people will experience victory over death and will one day experience total release from the captivity of Satan. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So the Lord Jesus often said in his earthly ministry, he spoke to his disciples and told them they would see him coming one day with clouds and glory to judge the living and the dead. And Paul is saying to us, the resurrection is proof that Jesus is the Lord of the living and the dead. And one day Jesus will come back and he will judge the living and the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead brings us to this verdict this morning. That if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, freely offered to you in the gospel, then at his coming will be a joyful reunion. It'll be the most joyful day you've ever known. But if you are not trusting in Jesus Christ, he's offered to you this morning in the gospel. Come to me, says Jesus, come to me. All those who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your soul. You'll find pardon and peace and forgiveness. He's offered to you in the gospel, but you reject him and you don't trust him. Then his coming as the judge is the most terrible thing to imagine. Jesus coming as the judge. You make sure this morning, this Easter Sunday morning, that when Jesus comes, he won't be coming for your judgment, but will come that you might joyfully, in faith, know and rejoice in him as your Saviour. How can you be sure? How can you be sure? Well, by trusting in Jesus Christ, who is offered to you now in the gospel. Believe in him. Trust in him. Put your whole life in his hands. Past, present, future, your whole life, everything in his hands. Cry out to him, say, Lord Jesus, save me. He is the living Saviour. And he will not turn you away. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you this morning for a living Saviour, Jesus Christ. We praise you for him, that Saviour who for all his believing people has conquered sin and death and hell. We praise you that we can in him know this morning an assurance, a guarantee, a receipt as it were, that our sins are truly forgiven. God has raised his son from the dead. Jesus freely laid down his life. He had the power to lay it down and he had the power to take it back again to himself. By the power of the Spirit raised from the dead, the whole triune God at work in our salvation. Oh Lord, we bring you our praise and our thanks this morning. Receive us as we come. And we thank you for those who, though they've never done so before, whoever this morning, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. O Lord, bring salvation to many hearts. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a concluding hymn. This great hope in life and death, Christ alone. Let's receive the Lord's benediction as we come to a close of our service this morning. Give thanks to God for this risen Saviour. Let's pray together. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.